Keep yourself in the loop of everything football on the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast. The latest news on and off the field, be it college football, Big Ten, SEC, Big 12, Pac-12, ACC to the NFL. We've got you covered. Listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast.
And welcome to the GSMC Football Podcast. This episode is brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. And as always, I am your host, Jesse Tapia. Went to the gym for the first time in a while yesterday. This has nothing to do with anything, but I just thought I'd share this. So the gym for the first time in a while yesterday, meaning a while, meaning years. I don't know why people go to the gym. Like, why? Like, I don't understand it. I get the whole wanting to be fit and healthy and all that, but I mean, I think I'm done playing competitive sports. But some of you guys just do it for fun. More power to you, I guess. But I don't know. Maybe the workout life isn't for me. Anyway, off that little tidbit, we move to the show. Here's what we're talking about today. First segment, we're starting off with Aaron Rodgers, the man. Gets his extension. We'll talk about Brett Hundley also getting traded for that team. It's now Deshaun Kizer time. Be ready for that. Second segment, we got Teddy Bridgewater now playing for the New Orleans Saints. I'll give my thoughts on that. Third segment, we will be talking Michael Kendricks, the Browns, and good old insider trading. I mean, only the Browns, right? And then as we do for that fourth segment, we will talk about anything else going on in the world of football, anything else that I want to talk about. So that's how today's show is going to go on. So now we move on. And Aaron Rodgers, I think we all kind of think he is, the best quarterback in the league right now, just based off of pure talent at the quarterback position. We're not talking team success or anything like that, just as far as pure ability. He is the best quarterback in the league. People's yelling at me right now, yelling at their phones, Tom Brady, Tom Brady, Tom Brady. Listen, ask yourselves, can Tom Brady do everything that Aaron Rodgers can do as far as playing the quarterback position? We're not talking wins or anything like that. We're talking about pure talent. If you say yeah, you're lying to yourself because he can't. Have you ever seen Tom Brady try to move outside the pocket? The dude is literally probably one of the most unathletic people I've ever seen. The guy can't move around. I don't understand why people haven't realized this. The way you beat Tom Brady is if you put pressure on him. Like if I was a team in the AFC East, I'm building up my defensive line every year. The way Dallas has built up their offensive line through the draft. Tom Brady is a deer in the headlights when it comes to putting pressure on him. You got a guy in his face, he's going to struggle. I don't get why teams haven't caught on to that, but I mean, it's the way it is, I guess. But like I said, yeah, Tom Brady isn't as talented as Aaron Rodgers. That's just pure facts. I mean, go watch the game tape. Like I said, Tom Brady, by far, more accomplished all time as far as taking everything into account. Yeah, he's the best quarterback of all time. Arguably. But as far as just playing the quarterback position and just being talented, yeah, Brady can't do anywhere near all the things that Rodgers can do. I mean, watching Tom Brady try and roll out and throw on the run and all that. When's the last time we saw that? And like I said, if he does, he doesn't do it as well as Rodgers. I'd say right now, as far as pure talent amongst quarterbacks, just guys who, like I said, doesn't take into account wins or anything like that, it goes Rodgers, Stafford, and I guess I'd go Luck as far as everything they can do. Again, I'm probably getting heat right now from you guys because of that, but just try and take the whole wins thing off your eyes for a second. So, like I said, right now Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback in the league, the most talented, but I think he's currently at a point in his career where I think we all want him pretty much make him one of those all-time great quarterbacks, put him up there, but we just can't yet because the guy hasn't done enough to win. And I really don't like how we do connect team stats to individual players, because it does take a great team to go out and win a Super Bowl, believe it or not. But, I mean, that's just the way it is, I guess. It's not right. It's not fair, but like I said, it's just one of those things. That's just how it is. So he ended up signing a 4-year, $134 million extension. Gets $98.2 million guaranteed at signing, as far as how much is total guaranteed, nearly $103 million. I mean, we were talking about Odell Beckham Jr. the other day, signing a deal worth $95 million, $65 guaranteed, and Aaron Rodgers is out here. Got more guaranteed money than Odell Beckham Jr.'s contract is entirely worth. I mean, these athletes live these lives. I will never be jealous of an athlete and how much they make, nor should anyone else. And I'll tell you why. Me and you could have been out there every day playing football, getting better, playing baseball, whatever it is that you were good at. But we didn't. You know who did? Aaron Rodgers. You know who else did? Every other player in the NFL and all those other professional sports leagues. So that's why I don't get why, I got to understand why people get so mad at these athletes for making all this money. People say they make way too much. That might be the case, but I mean, you see how much money they bring in, all the revenue? It's deserved. People complain, oh, I got to work this 9-to-5. You get to go play football. Yeah. John Doe, if you would have practiced football, through passes, whatever you did, whatever sport you played, didn't matter, every day, and worked at it to get better, you'd probably be up there with them. But you didn't. So don't get mad at them, because you didn't. I never understood it. Why fans tend to count these athletes' money and be jealous of it. You could have been up there, but you didn't put in the work. So, either way, I mean, now we move on to the million-dollar question. Is it a good deal? Yes, it's a good deal. I mean, what were the Packers going to do? Not pay Aaron Rodgers? Let's say they don't pay Aaron Rodgers. Aaron, we think you're worth this much. It's great playing for you guys. I'm going to finish out these last couple of years. Then I'm going to go play somewhere else. That's what would have happened. I mean, I think the majority of teams in the NFL right now would be willing to pay Aaron Rodgers whatever he wanted. Aaron, go ahead and write the amount on this check, and that's what we'll pay you. So, yeah, this is a good deal. And I wonder if there's anyone out there who's looking at this deal thinking, oh, the Packers are making a mistake. Because, I mean, if you are, you're crazy. Honestly. I don't know why anyone could look at this and be like, oh, yeah, it's a terrible deal. They're making a mistake. No, they're not. I mean, it's Aaron Rodgers. When this guy's healthy, your Packers are pretty much a guaranteed playoff team. When he's healthy, they have any shot in the world to go out and make it to the Super Bowl. Kind of struggled getting there since they beat Pittsburgh in that one Super Bowl. But I mean, they've made a few NFC Championship games since. Just a matter of they got to get over that hump right there. So yeah, Aaron Rodgers, good deal here. I mean, like I said, the guy's making nearly $103 million guaranteed. That's really got to be like a real big come down for Odell Beckham Jr. Happy you make $65 million. And then you see Aaron Rodgers making $103. You're like, ah, you beat me. And how does this, I mean, it's ridiculous how much quarterbacks are getting now guaranteed. Like, not even the total deal, just guaranteed money. You got Matt Ryan, who's getting $100 mil guaranteed. Rodgers, who's the next quarterback who's up for a deal? Let's actually look through that. Because, I mean, I'm curious, actually, who is. Maybe, how long is Stafford on his deal for? Stafford's not a free agent until 2023, so he's done. Garoppolo, 2023. So these guys are all pretty much taken care of. Let's see who's going to be a free agent, or at least whose deal is up in 2019. Tyrod's. So, I mean, you got to look at the guys who got a couple more years left on their deal. Russell Wilson, perfect. How much money is Russell Wilson going to get? His contract is up in 2020. Or he's a free agent in 2020. So you got to figure that, I mean, Seattle's going to give him a nice little deal here, right? Yes. At least they should. How much are they going to give him? It's the million-dollar question right there. You think Russell Wilson will eclipse $100 million guaranteed? And I can't wait for that. That's going to be one interesting one because, I mean,
I feel like people are torn as where they want to put Russell Wilson. I think he's a top five quarterback, but I'm not sure too many others agree with me. And like I said, I mean, if you're Pete Carroll or whoever's running the deals, you're going to give Russell Wilson $100 million guaranteed? I think that's what it's going to take. But Russell Wilson seems like the kind of guy, at least from what he's shown us through the media, that he's not really a money type of guy. But, I mean, if we're crossing over to the NBA real quick, neither did Kawhi Leonard. So, actually, that analogy doesn't make sense because he would have made more money with the Spurs. So, I guess it doesn't work out that way. But I guess Russell Wilson is the next top quarterback to be up for a deal. Like I said, I'm not so sure that you give him 100 mil. Like, I just don't think he's on that Rodgers level. But he is better than Matt Ryan, so I guess you kind of have to. Let's see. So, yeah, Wilson, he's going to need a new deal. Aaron Rodgers already got his done. Cam Newton's up for, he's going to be a free agent in 2021, so will be Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton, that's going to be an interesting one also. I think he might just be gone after that, meaning he won't be with the Bengals. Let's see, Eli's done in 2020. I wonder what's going to happen with Phillip Rivers. He's a free agent in 2022. You think he'll just retire or continue it? I guess we'll have to wait and see. But either way, yep, Russell Wilson, the next man up for a contract. Also, in other news, the Packers traded Brett Hundley. That means DeShone Kizer is the heir apparent to the Packers quarterback job once Aaron Rodgers retires, whenever that may be. I'm still holding out hope on DeShone Kizer. I think that he will become a good NFL quarterback. Granted, it'll be maybe 6 years from now, 5 years from now. But either way, when that happens, I will be telling you all, I told you so. So we'll wait for that. But either way, like I said, Brett Hundley traded over to the Seahawks. Seahawks get the backup that they needed. And DeShone Kizer gets the development that he needs under Rodgers for a few years. So that's all I got to say about that. Next up, we will be talking about Teddy Bridgewater getting traded, so stay tuned, and I'll be right back.
Are you looking for help for your fantasy football team? Check out the GSMC Fantasy Football Podcast. Get today's best advice on who to start, who to sit, even who you should draft. From sleeper picks to red-hot lineups, they got it all covered for you. That's gsmcpodcast.com/fantasy-football-podcast. We'll cover traditional leagues, dynasty, PPR, even IDP leagues. When you need fantasy help, there's just one show to hit up. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
And welcome back to the GSMC Football Podcast. We spent that first segment talking about Aaron Rodgers and his new contract. Now we move on and we talk Teddy Bridgewater. Teddy Bridgewater is now a part of the New Orleans Saints. Saints gave up a third round pick to get him. And Teddy Bridgewater is only on a 1 year deal right now. The Saints are now, for the 2019 draft, currently without their first-round pick and their third-round pick. What are they doing? What is the plan here for the Saints? I'm looking at it, and I'm sure their plan is to make Teddy Bridgewater the successor to Drew Brees once he's gone. That seems like a decent plan, but you look at it, you think Teddy Bridgewater wants to play backup for another season? I mean, obviously he's going to have to for this year, but next year you think he's going to want to? People saying, oh, why can't he start for the Saints next season? Drew Brees still owed some guaranteed money. So, no matter what, Drew Brees will be the starting quarterback of the Saints next season. So when you look at that, if you're Teddy Bridgewater, long term, it's a decent situation. But these athletes don't look at it the way we do.
Teddy Bridgewater thinks he's probably a top 10 quarterback in the league, and he's just waiting to show everyone. I mean, I don't think we'd say that, but Teddy Bridgewater believes it, I'm sure. And I'm sure Teddy Bridgewater wants to start for a team next season rather than wait another year. So, I mean, you look at it. Are there teams that could use Teddy Bridgewater's quarterback services? Well, why don't we look out and find out? So, teams who could possibly need a starting quarterback next season in 2019. None in the NFC East. I think Eli's going to be there one more season. None in the NFC North. The NFC South. Tampa Bay, possibly. I mean, let's say Jameis just doesn't look good this season. Tampa Bay is tired of his immaturity. They cut him loose. Teddy Bridgewater goes from the Saints to the Bucks. It's a possibility. NFC West, they all got their quarterbacks. So there's only one in the NFC next season who I could see needing a quarterback. Starting one, I'd say. The AFC East. Buffalo's got their long-term guy. So does New York. The Patriots got Tom Brady, so he'll be there as long as he wants to be. Then you look at Miami. Ryan Tannehill is there, yes. But let's say the Dolphins go 7-9, 6-10 this season, maybe 8-8. Tannehill doesn't look so sharp this season. I mean, eventually you got to figure out whether or not this guy is it for your franchise. And if you're not winning ball games and it's just mediocrity year after year, you got to get rid of him. I don't think Tannehill's owed any more guaranteed money. The only way he's guaranteed money is if he's on the roster week one. It's one of those type of deals now. So, I mean, if Tannehill doesn't play well this season, Miami cuts him loose. Sign Teddy Bridgewater, make him the starter. It's a possibility. Then you got the NFC North. Andy Dalton's the guy in Cincinnati. Big Ben will be there as long as he wants to be in Pittsburgh. Cleveland's already got their long-term guy. You'll get the Ravens. Let's say that Flacco stinks it up this season. They cut him. Lamar Jackson's not looking like he's ready to start. Teddy Bridgewater could fill in there. AFC South. Deshaun Watson's over in Houston. They don't need him. I'd say as of right now, Indianapolis doesn't need a quarterback, but we got to see what Andrew Luck looks like for the entire season. Jacksonville needs a quarterback, and the same thing with Tampa Bay and Jameis Winston you could say about Marcus Mariota in Tennessee. I mean, we talk a lot about Jameis Winston not really panning out so far. Has Marcus Mariota? I know he had great red zone numbers the first 2 years of his career. Last season, played terrible. I mean, let's just call it what it is. Yeah, they made the playoffs, but Marcus Mariota looked awful last season. And let's say he doesn't play well this season. Tennessee's not too sure about him. I'm sure Teddy Bridgewater would come cheaper than Marcus Mariota would. So there's a possibility there. And then in the AFC West, Kansas City's got their guy, Phillip Rivers. I mean, I don't see Teddy Bridgewater starting for the Chargers next season. And then you look at the Raiders. They got Derek Carr. He's already on his big second deal, so he's not going anywhere. You look at Denver. Let's say Case Keenum doesn't play well this season. I mean, why not Teddy Bridgewater next season? So that's about six teams that Teddy Bridgewater could possibly start for next season. Again, possibly things got to go fall in the right place that way. So that's why I look at New Orleans, and I'm thinking, if a job opens up for Teddy Bridgewater, why wouldn't he take it? I mean, you'd have to pay Teddy Bridgewater a decent amount of money, I think, to keep him in New Orleans. And that's not necessarily a bad thing considering, I mean, Breeze has only got one more year left. Well, two more, since if we're counting this one. So, yeah, you'd have to make him the highest paid backup in the league and actually give him maybe some quarterback money, some starting quarterback money. Unless they sign him for 1 year and then extend him after that. But I don't really see that happening, given that doesn't really give Teddy Bridgewater too much security there. So, I mean, we'll see how this ends up working out, meaning Teddy Bridgewater could very well not be a Saints player next season, and that means they wasted a third-round pick for no reason, considering chances are Teddy Bridgewater's not really going to play the season because Drew Brees is there. What a concept, I know. But either way, it will be interesting. I mean, let's say Teddy Bridgewater does stick around long-term. That keeps the Saints as playoff contenders. I mean, yeah, we've only seen Teddy Bridgewater play a few preseason games this season, but he's looked good. And quick question. I keep seeing that people say Teddy Bridgewater was being considered as a future MVP winner, like an MVP candidate, before he blew out his knee. Was he really? Or are people just saying that to be nice? I mean, honestly, I can look back at Teddy Bridgewater's stats for those first 2 years, and I don't understand why he'd be up for MVP consideration. I mean, maybe people thought, like, maybe long-term, deeper in his career, like, deeper, he could be an MVP winner. But I'm not necessarily sure what a 64% completion percentage, not even 3,000 yards in his rookie year, 14 touchdowns, 12 interceptions could do to that. 2015, they made the playoffs. He completed 65% of his passes, threw for 3,200 yards, 14 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. Where do you see a future MVP candidate there? Maybe it was the flashes. Maybe you saw some throws you liked. His leadership, possibly. But I don't remember us ever talking about Bridgewater being like a future MVP player. Or a future MVP candidate, I'd say. Future MVP player is kind of redundant, I guess. So, like I said, we'll see what ends up happening. I mean, looking at the Saints this season, they're obviously Super Bowl contenders. And you don't necessarily want to waste the young talent that they got on that team once Breeze is gone. I mean, everyone's been talking about Taysom Hill, but give me a break. That guy's not going to be an NFL starter. Harsh, but it's true. They got JT Barrett there. JT Barrett, that's the one who, if I remember the play correctly, where the refs incorrectly spotted the ball and gave him the first down against Michigan when it should have been Michigan ball. And yes, I do think he was short, and he was short. But of course, I mean, it's college football refs, so what can you do? But yeah, they needed a backup quarterback. I mean, Breeze is old. Let's say he goes down with injury this season. You don't want Hill or Barrett or Tom Savage being the guy to come in. And Teddy Bridgewater would be the perfect one. So, I mean, if Teddy's thinking long term, if I'm him, I'm sticking around with New Orleans, saying, all right, once Drew's done, I'm in. But we'll have to wait and see exactly what ends up happening. And I mean, now that this little whole thing is over, it's the Sam Darnold era in New York. Thank you, NFL. Because I don't think I could have went a Detroit Lions, New York Jets Monday night football game with Josh McCown being the starting quarterback for one of those teams. I mean, ESPN really took a chance there. Really took one. I'm not sure if it's ESPN who decides who plays Monday night or if it's the NFL, but either way, whoever does took a big chance, because just imagine if we had Josh McCown versus Sam Darnold, or Josh McCown starting week one for the Jets. Yuck. I mean, that'd be awful. Absolutely awful. And the matchups are pretty weird. The starting out Monday night football matchups are kind of weird. I mean, Detroit versus the Jets. I mean, that's just a random matchup right there. And so is Rams versus Raiders is a bit different. I think that one, what? It's in Oakland, I believe. So that's a bit different considering the Raiders got history in LA. But, I mean, yeah. We literally could have had Josh McCown versus Matt Stafford. Shame on whoever came up with that. You guys are so lucky that Darnold's going to be the starter. So lucky. And I kept seeing people, too, say they should cut McCown and keep Teddy Bridgewater as the backup. I don't understand why people think you could just go out and cut a guy you're guaranteeing $10 million to. That doesn't make sense. But I guess just the way it goes. So, yeah, Teddy Bridgewater, now a New Orleans Saint. Traded over there for a third-round pick. Saints now without their first and third-round pick for the 2019 draft. Not ideal, but we'll see how it ends up playing out for them. I mean, they usually tend to come out on top, right? So we're going to leave it here. Next up, we're going to get into just the Browns. So stay tuned, and I'll be right back.
Check out the show that's built on the MMA. From the UFC to extreme cage fighting, they got the fights covered. Check out the GSMC MMA podcast. Get the latest news on past or upcoming fights. Join us as we talk to and about some of the biggest names in the MMA, past, present, and future. When it's the fight game, there's just one show to check out. GSMCpodcast.com/MMA-podcast. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
All right, and welcome back to the GSMC Football Podcast. So far today, we've talked Aaron Rodgers and Teddy Bridgewater, so now we move on, and the Browns became a team again back in 1999. Actually, you know what? Let's take a look at the Browns just since 1999. What have the Browns done? And, I mean, this is just going to be a full-on Cleveland segment here because, you know what? People were telling me, because I saw all the moves they were making this offseason, bringing on Tyrod Taylor, trading for Jarvis Landry. And I was thinking, you know what? This team's got a lot of talent. In a football sense, they can win some games this season. They look really good. Tyrod Taylor is a decent quarterback, one who can win you some ball games, keep you in them. I mean, he took the Bills to the playoffs last season. Jarvis Landry, I think, is a top 10 receiver. I don't think too many people agree with me, but I think I can make an argument that'll put him there. And like I said, I like the team. I like Todd Haley, the offensive coordinator. I thought that was a good hire. But people kept telling me, Jesse, it's the Browns. They're not going to win any games. I'm thinking that's not a good enough excuse. I mean, you can't just say it's the Browns. And I get it now. I get why they told me that. I mean, like I said, let's take a look at what they've done since 1999. So 1999, they come back. They go 2-14. 2000, the year 2000, they go 3-13. 2001, they go 7-9. 2002, they go 9-7, make the playoffs, losing the wild card round. 2003, they go 5-11. 2004, they go 4-12. 2005, they go 6-10. 2006, they go 4-12. 2007, they went 10-6. Eric Anderson was the quarterback that year. Didn't make the playoffs due to a tiebreaker. 10-6 usually is good enough to get you in, but because it's the Browns, they don't. 2008, they go 4-12. 2009, they go 5-11. 2010, they go 5-11 again. 2011, 4-12. 2012, 5-11. 2013, 4-12. 2014, they won 7 games. They went 7-9. 2015, they go 3-13. 2016, they go 1-15. 2017, they go 0-16. And here we are, 2008. We have no clue what their record is, but they got linebackers getting hit with insider trading. I mean, is there ever a more Browns thing than this? Honestly? This team has been so bad to the point where, I mean, is it really surprising the fact that the first player who gets hit with insider trading as he's an NFL player is a Browns player? I mean, this team can't catch a break. This franchise is literally cursed or something. I mean, really, insider trading? And didn't Peyton Manning, and I'm just thinking here, didn't he almost get hit with something like that? Because didn't he own like a certain amount of Papa John's or whatnot? He sold all those, and like a couple of days later or whatnot, Papa John's started going down. And it wasn't because of like the most recent incident that they had with the report coming out about the Papa John. I don't even know the dude's first, like the whole name, but he used a racial slur in one of their conferences. This was a prior thing, I think. But yeah, I mean, this is very odd right here. So, I mean, I guess we'll just unpack it. Let's look at Michael Kendricks' statement and see exactly what he had to say about it. And we'll talk about whether or not he's going to do jail time or anything like that. I don't necessarily see him doing it, just giving a statement. But let me read the statement off. And again, I should say that this was reported by Jeremy Roebuck. Works for, I believe, the Philadelphia Inquirer. Pennsylvania Inquirer? Philadelphia Inquirer, if I'm not mistaken. But either way, here's Michael Kendrick's statement. I apologize. 4 years ago, I participated in insider trading, and I deeply regret it. I invested money with a former friend of mine who I thought I could trust and who I greatly admired. His background as a Harvard graduate and an employee of Goldman Sachs gave me a false sense of confidence. To that point, I had worked my tail off since I was 5 years old to become the football player that I am today. I was drawn in by the allure of being more than just a football player. While I didn't fully understand all of the details of the illegal trades, I knew it was wrong, and I wholeheartedly regret my actions.
Since the beginning of the investigation, I have fully cooperated with all of the authorities and will continue to do so. I accept full responsibility for my actions, although I did not take any of the profits for myself. I am committed to repaying all of the funds gained illegally and accept the consequences of my actions. I sincerely apologize to my coaches, the owners, and my teammates on the Eagles and the Browns, the NFL, and the magnificent fans to whom I owe my career. I also apologize to my family who I have failed in this. You all deserve better, and I will work my hardest to re-earn your trust and respect, serve as an advocate to educate others, and show you that I will never be involved in anything like this again. Thank you for your time and hopefully your forgiveness. I will say this on the statement, nice little touch, saying that he owes his career to his fans. I mean, yeah, I guess. But I don't know. I'm not with the whole thanking fans thing. People say, oh, why can you say that? Well, I'm a fan. And I don't claim that I pay these players checks. But I guess, like I said, that's a nice touch. Brown statement from this: we are aware of the situation and in communication with the league office as we gather more information. Michael will not make the trip to Detroit. And we will comment further at the appropriate time. So, I mean, if there was ever a player to get with inside trading and a team for him to be on, it'd be the Browns, and it was the Browns. And I'm curious now because, I mean, we're about to set a new precedent here. So how many games do you get suspended for insider trading? That's what I want to know. This isn't substance abuse. This isn't any of the other bad stuff that goes on in the NFL. Like, we're in some real stuff here. And before I even get into that, as far as jail time, I don't see him doing jail time, given that if there was a chance of him going to jail, why on earth would you admit to insider trading? Would that make any sense in the world? No, it wouldn't. The guy's not going to jail. He probably made some type of deal with the feds and is going to get off that way. I mean, I'm sure maybe they're telling him, pay off what you took. Maybe they had some interest in it. I'm not sure how that stuff goes. I've never been a part of insider trading. But either way, yeah, he's not going to jail. So now it's just a matter of how many games is the guy getting for a suspension? And I guess now we're going to figure out how seriously they take insider trading, talking about the NFL. I mean, do you suspend him for 4 games? Possibly. Maybe 8 games? It's another possibility. Or do you suspend him for the whole season? Because, I mean, insider trading seems like a big deal. I mean, there's money being made. And it's basically like you got a cheat code to the game. Let's see, what's the minimum sentence for insider trading? That's one where that'd be pretty interesting to see here. And I mean, I don't get the whole trying to blame the friend type of thing here. He says like he knew what he was doing. Like he didn't know the ins and outs of it, but he knew it was illegal. So like, why are you going to take an attack at a former friend? That makes no sense to me. But, I mean, I guess it's just his statement. So he can say whatever he wants. But minimum sentence for insider trading is 20 years. Man, this guy's getting off real easy if all he's got to do is pay back a couple $1 million. I mean, imagine. Michael Kendrick's a real good linebacker, too, in the league. But imagine you got to go and do 20 years. Whew. Not me. So, yeah, he says he's been fully cooperative with the authorities and all that. So, yeah, I don't see him really doing any jail time at all. Like, he won't. Yeah, there's no way. So now it's just a matter of how many games he's getting suspended. I mean, the NFL's got to, like, this is... And I'm curious to see how much the Browns knew about it up to this point and the NFL. Because if it's one where they were just completely unaware and they're just now finding out about it today, that's a bit of a problem, I'd say. But I'll probably say that Michael Kendricks gets 4-game suspension. Again, now we're going to set a precedent to see how many games you get suspended for insider trading. But, I mean, we'll see what the NFL decides.
And like I said, I mean, there has never been a more Browns thing to ever happen. I mean, it's ridiculous. This team is just, they're cursed. They're absolutely cursed. Move them out of Cleveland. Let's send them. Let's get the Baltimore Colts back together. We'll have two Baltimore teams. We got two New York teams. We got two LA teams. Why can't we have two Baltimore teams? Make them the Baltimore Colts. But I don't know. This team's got to do something. Maybe get the... what was the guy's name in Major League? I can't remember. But the guy who's into all the voodoo stuff. Maybe get him there. Bring his little doll or whatnot. And have him just uncurse the Browns. Is that a possibility? We need to find out. We got to do something with this franchise. But, yeah. Michael Kendricks hit with insider trading. Not necessarily a good day for him, huh? Not at all. So, that's all I got to say about that. Next up, we will be talking about anything else going on in the world of sports. So, stay tuned, and I will be right back.
Check out the show built around the women of MMA. From the UFC to the extreme cage fighting, we got the fights covered.
Listen.
It's the Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast. The latest news of upcoming fights, discussions of previous matches. Join us as we talk to and about the biggest names in women's mixed martial arts, past, present, and future. When it's the women's fight game, you know where to listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast.
All right, and welcome back to the GSMC Football Podcast. Now we finish up this segment talking about anything else going on in the world of football. We're talking about any other topics that come into my mind. So as far as news, Geno Atkins and Carlos Dunlap got some extensions over with the Bengals. I think well-deserved, both very good defensive players. Geno Atkins, I'd say, is a top five defensive tackle. So, like I said, deservedly so, got a new deal. You look at the Bengals this season, last couple of years, they've been pretty bad, pretty boring. If their offensive line is fixed up this season, they could be a decent team. I mean, let's not forget, there was a point in time where Andy Dalton was taking this team to the playoffs. I mean, granted, that's all he was doing, given they were losing every single opening game they played in the playoffs. And I mean, Marvin Lewis has literally made himself a career off of that. Isn't that a bit ridiculous? Well, impressive, I should say. I mean, he's literally showed the Bengals front office, like, here, like, this is where, like, this is basically my ceiling. I will take us to the playoffs, but I will not win us one playoff game. And they're like, okay, Marvin, you want an extension? Sure, guys. I mean, it's incredible. There's a point where you kind of get tired of being stuck and you want to do more. He's made the playoffs 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times. Has never played more than one game in the playoffs. Has not won one game in the playoffs. I mean, isn't that a problem? Honestly. I'm not trying to hate on Marvin Lewis or anything like that, but come on now. I mean, you see that the guy just isn't working out. And I guess it's just the Bengals are pretty content on making the playoffs and not doing anything. I mean, I don't get it. Maybe it's just if you fire a coach, you got to hire a new one and pay him a lot of money. Bengals have always been known for being pretty cheap. So maybe that's just what it is. But like I said, I mean, how many times can you make the playoffs once and just not win a game? That's mediocre right there. That's mediocrity. Well, it's the Bengals. They got a possibility of doing that this season. Dare I say it. Yes, they can make the playoffs. It's just Andy Dalton's got to play well. So, there's that. Anything else?
going on in the world of sports.
I mean, the biggest stories today have been Aaron Rodgers getting paid, Teddy Bridgewater going to the Saints,
and like I said, I like Bridgewater to the Saints, but it's just one where if Bridgewater doesn't want to stick around, it's a bad trade. Chances are Bridgewater's not going to have to play at all this season. But
we'll see what ends up happening. That Hard Knocks episode next week's going to be pretty interesting, too. You think like they'll talk about the insider trading for Michael Kendricks?
I mean, I feel like you got to if you're HBO. That's ratings right there.
Let's see. Anything else going on currently? Still trying to figure out what's going on with the Raiders and Khalil Mack.
I mean, I haven't really understood too many moves that the Raiders have made this offseason. I mean, that's a team where, like, I felt like for a long, like, for a couple, like, well, after they drafted Carr, and you saw Carr was a decent quarterback, I felt like, yes, this is a new Raiders team. They're not going to make the same mistakes that they have before. And then they go out and give John Gruden 10 years, $100 million. I mean, I'm thinking about it. Was John Gruden really that great of a coach to where you got to give him that money to get him out the booth to come coach your team? I mean, you give John Gruden that kind of money, he better bring a Super Bowl to this team. Whether it's in Oakland or Vegas, I could care less. He's got to bring at least a Super Bowl. You don't hire a guy 10 years, $100 million just to come yell. And I'm real curious. I mean, John Gruden's really stuck with this whole old school football type of thing. That doesn't necessarily work out too well for teams who want to go backwards. Usually, the direction you're trying to head is in forwards. But John Gruden, no. John Gruden isn't like GPS, so it makes sense why he's going backwards. John Gruden isn't like technology, which I don't understand. I mean, pretty soon we'll be seeing those Raiders players playing with those little neck rolls, the little thick ones in the back. And the Raiders this season could be really, really good. Well, they could be absolutely terrible. I mean, last season we were talking about the Raiders being the team to challenge New England and make it to a Super Bowl. Isn't it crazy how fast that started up and how fast it burned down? I mean, literally, we were having conversations. Is this the year someone finally takes over for the Patriots? And we were acting as if that team was going to be the Raiders. When now, Crabtree's gone, your defense is terrible, and the best player on your defense you might trade. I thought we were done with those years. But I guess not. And I mean, yeah, the Raiders only have two choices here. It is to either give Mac an extension or trade the guy. There's no either or. And I'm curious to see whether or not Mac ends up holding out into the season, because it doesn't seem like him and the Raiders are going to be getting a deal done anytime soon. So we'll see about that. Also, Aaron Donald still without a deal. Seems like the hype going around there is that he will be getting a deal done soon. And if he does, it seems like the numbers I've seen are $80 million guaranteed, which is absurd. But I mean, the Rams are trying to win now, so I guess it all works out. Anything else going on before we wrap it up here for today? Think there's not much. Maybe some topics we can get into. Matt Stafford. I was talking today with Tate before the show about Hall of Famers and quarterbacks and stuff like that. Who's a first ballot? Who wouldn't be? I'd say as of right now, the only quarterbacks in the league who are first ballot Hall of Famers for me are Tom Brady and Eli Manning. I think Drew Brees should be a first ballot Hall of Famer, but I'm not sure that the Hall of Fame is going to put him in the first time. And I mean, you're looking at it right now. You got Eli, Brady, Rivers, Brees, Rodgers, Roethlisberger. I think that's pretty much it right there. I think we got six for sure future Hall of Famers. And then there's the fringe guys that, too, I'm pretty interested in. Like guys like Matt Ryan. You got Stafford. Stafford's interesting. Stafford's going to end up like near the top in all the passing records, but just simply might not get into the Hall of Fame due to the fact that the guy just doesn't have any playoff wins or anything like that. Like Stafford, at least to have a chance at making it to the Hall of Fame, I think has got to
make it to a couple of NFC Championship games. And that's really hard since he's playing for Detroit, and Detroit's not really a winning franchise. But he's got to do something if he wants to make it to the Hall of Fame, because he's got the numbers. I mean, the dude throws for nearly 5,000 yards every year. It's just a point where, I mean, if you don't have the accolades, the wins, and all that, they don't really look into it too much. And then as far as Matt Ryan, I think if Matt Ryan makes it to another Super Bowl, he gets in. I mean, we've seen that it's possible to be a quarterback and not win a Super Bowl to get in. So I think Ryan just needs to keep making the playoffs and just continuing on the pace that he's on right now. Cam Newton, I don't think he's a Hall of Famer as of right now currently. Let's see. Anyone else that's not close to retiring, but we can start making decisions, at least thinking? I think that's pretty much it right now. But yeah, you got Rivers, Roethlisberger, Brady, Breeze, Manning, Rodgers. I mean, we really lived in the golden age of quarterbacks, at least when those guys came in. But that's all I got to say for today. We're going to go ahead and wrap it up here. Today we talked Aaron Rodgers, we talked Teddy Bridgewater, we talked Michael Kendricks and insider trading. And then for this fourth segment, we talked about a couple of other different topics. So thanks for listening to the GSMC Football Podcast. As always, I am your host, Jesse Tapia. I will be back tomorrow, so stay tuned, and I will talk to you guys later.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.